With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino back here with you to talk about week 12, 90 Day Fiancé, before the 90 days here once again, as we talked about an up and down week, a lot of downs once again with these couples that we're following all season long. And of course, back with us to talk about it all, here he is, Mr. 90 Day Fiancé, Puya Zampacchilli. Puya, how are you?
I'm doing good, Rob. As long as I have an hombre to talk to about all this, I'm in a good place, and you are the best hombre there is. So
happy to be here. Thank you so much. We appreciate all of that. We'll get to everything 90 Day Fiancé. I saw a commercial during the episode for 90 Day Fiancé Diaries is coming back in March to TLC on Monday nights, which seems like that's sort of like the junior 90 Day Fiancé night, not as important as that's like maybe the SmackDown. Is that fair to say that SmackDown is less important than Raw, or they're equals?
At this point, I think they're equals. Sometimes SmackDown takes it over. Yeah, they're very much now equal. I feel like before it used to be the clear B show back in the day.
Yeah. 90 Day Fiancé Diaries is coming back, and I saw that it seems that on 90 Day Fiancé Diaries, looks like Chuck is going to be one of the characters that is going to be followed. And it's going to be about Chuck getting back into the dating pool.
Please stop.
Chuck,
you're kidding.
Elizabeth's dad. Yes. Who runs the company that Andre works at.
I'm not ready. I mean, I feel like, you know, he's next on the single life. I mean, the 90 Day Diaries ended up being a thing, Rob, because they started filming it while, you know, at peak of the pandemic. It was a way to get content out and kind of have people just document themselves. I'm not ready to. Do you want to talk if it does come through? Should we talk about it on this network?
I don't know. I'm just I guess that they dropped the trailer this week. 90 Day Diaries, season 3, and so it looks like I see Jovi and Yara is going to be in it. Looks like Mike and Natalie. Is that right? It looks like at least Natalie looks like.
Steven and Olga, Brittany, by the looks of it.
Yeah, there's Chuck. Got it. It looks like
Brandon and Julia.
Yeah, Angela looks like she's in it.
Oh my god.
Got some all-stars.
Oh my god, this is gonna be a lot. Okay, well, maybe we have something else to check out.
Yeah. So, all right, maybe we'll check out some 90 Day Fiancé Diaries coming up.
Yeah, so it should be fun. We'll keep an eye out for it.
Okay. All right. So, Puya, I guess we should talk about this week's episode. I didn't think this was the most exciting episode. Looks like next week. Looks like that's the jump off next week.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we've hit a couple kind of ish okay episodes, a little bit more filler maybe, just moving the plot along. The next time on does seem promising, especially with one couple in particular that I'm excited to see. We have to wait for another week for that.
Yeah.
As far as this week goes, there were some moments, but some being the operative word.
Okay. All right. Well, we spent a lot of time with Ben and Mahogany. Maybe the most time we spent all season with Ben and Mahogany. And I don't even understand what's going on here anymore, because I feel like that this is clearly not working. This is almost like, wrong number. Okay. But let's go through like all of this vacation that we planned.
Yeah, for a nothing burger of a couple, they really said they are going to be the feature this week. And it was, a lot of airtime, but then maybe not a lot of movement, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we spend like 5 different dates here with Ben and Mahogany.
Yeah. And Rob, it's a lot. And we're still in the same spot we were before the episode began, really, the plot did not move with these two.
Yeah. And Mahogany is clearly looking for a way out.
Oh, yeah. She is not interested in him at all. Ben is trying so hard to glom on, even though Ben is clearly spooked out about some of the discrepancies in the relationship leading up to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mess is what it is, to be okay. honest.
All right. Ben starts off, he's at his hotel, he's swimming, drinking some coffee. Coffee looked good.
Coffee did look good. I've never had a coffee poolside
in a pool.
Before.
Yeah, never had a coffee in a pool.
Yeah, no. I don't know how that would, I don't know how, would that be good? I don't know.
Do you think the coffee stayed hot?
That's a great question. It had to have, right? Because he's not putting the cup in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean,
I hope so.
I don't know. It depends on how hot it was when they poured it in. All right. Ben is going to call up his friend. This was a week where we had a few friends on Zoom that we're talking to on FaceTime. And calls the friend and says, boy, things are looking a little sus with Mahogany. Her home seems like it wasn't her home. I don't know. And then get this bombshell. She's actually 22, not 24. Game changer.
Yeah, talk about a bombshell. We're talking 2 years difference. She said 24. She just turned 22. Red flags.
Mm-hmm. The friend tells him, Puya, just look for a pattern of deceit. What does that mean?
I feel like, does that mean, pay attention to other things that might come up, other slippages? I don't know. Because I think ultimately the friend says, figure out who she is further than what you know. And really, what else is there for him to uncover, right? What else could there be?
Not much.
Yeah, not much. I will say, Rob, I did get a message from one of our listeners.
Yes.
With the exact Airbnb listing for the house that Mahogany tried to pass off.
Mm-hmm. That's her house.
Not bad rating. If I stay there for 3 nights, it's 474 Canadian because my Airbnb still is on Canada money.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good. And I could free cancellation before May 5th.
Yeah.
So
you think that you could let me stay in one of the bunks?
Easily, Rob. Mm-hmm. Easily. And hey, bring someone else with you because there's a bunk. So you're set.
My kids would love it.
Yeah. And then, there is a hammock in the balcony. So, you got that going.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Got a summer vacation plan ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe is that maybe where we should have the site of your race versus Mike Bloom in Portugal?
In Peru? I mean,
Peru. Yeah.
That would be very good. I see it's by water, so we could easily have a race by the beach, by the water. That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Be beautiful.
Oh, and it really would be, Rob. I feel like especially living in the winter right now on the East Coast, I would love to see some sunny beachside right now.
Well, Puya, then after the race, maybe we could all go out for ice cream, just like Ben and Mahogany ended up doing. And so we saw, get introduced to Angie and Elizabeth, friends of Mahogany.
Yeah, two friends, very close friends of Mahogany's. And Elizabeth tells us, Rob, she has only just recently learned about Ben. So Mahogany wasn't really talking about Ben to her friends up until this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess the friends are not as close as we would have thought because she seems to have left out about how she has met this amazing man, Ben.
I mean, I think she maybe left it out to herself that she had met this amazing man named Ben. potentially, is what I felt.
Okay. Puya, we've talked a lot this season about the different translating apps that have been a big part of Before the 90 Days. Ben gets his translator on.
Yeah, he pulls out his phone and says, you know, there's this new app, hot new app off the press. It'll translate things instantly. And I mean, it seemed like it did a serviceable job. I don't think the translator app was a problem. We've come a long way since the olden days of 90, Rob, with the translator apps.
Okay. So they go out to eat some ice cream, which, what do you think optically? Well, yeah, you have this 50-year-old guy, and he's taking out his 22-year-old girlfriend for ice cream.
Yeah, this is creepy. You could have picked so many other things.
Yeah.
Ice cream, little weird.
Yeah, let's go for coffee.
Yeah, like adults. Coffee and like maybe a muffin. That is the move.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, right. Ice cream and like, you know, you got these little cones. It's not even like a gourmet ice cream shop where you sit down and they give you like a bowl. No, it's not great.
Okay. So Ben is, I thought, a little forward with some of these questions, these icebreakers. So tell me something you love about Mahogany.
Yeah, it felt like there was literally no intro and he immediately dove into, listen, what is her 5-year
question.
Plan?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we learned that you can always count on Mahogany, according to her friends. So that's good.
She's very responsible, which has not been my experience, but okay, we'll go with it. And then two, can you tell me something that you want me to know as her boyfriend? And friends are like, didn't know you were a boyfriend.
Yeah, we thought you were just a friend. So that is a surprising use of the word boyfriend. Was that the app's problem? Was that just you? And then Ben, with all his knowledge, Rob, decides to double down, turns over to Mahogany and says, well, Mahogany, am I your boyfriend or am I your friend?
Right. Usually a question that if you have to ask, you are the friend.
Yes. Yes. If, especially if you got to ask, what are we in front of her friends? Not going to end well for you. Not going to end well. If the friend said they thought you were just a friend, I would say awkwardly take a lick of your ice cream and move on to the next question.
Yeah, so I feel like Mahogany really tries to thread a needle here where she tells us, like, quite earnestly in her confessionals that, yeah, you know, we talked about things like marriage and love and having children on text, but that was texting. Texting does not constitute real life. You can say anything on text, but until you spend time together in person, like, that doesn't really mean anything.
It's an interesting approach from Mahogany, because obviously you can have a loose long distance connection and then when you meet it becomes serious. But the conversation matter here, again, family, children, love, like, you've already thrown the love out. L word has been put out there. That is a lot more serious. And I love Mahogany's way of trying to get out of this by fine printing it as, well, you never told me you would be, like, you never asked me, would you be my girlfriend? That was never brought up. You never asked the question. And that's what would have been binding. Everything else is just middle. It doesn't matter.
Is texting like the metaverse, where it's like a whole different universe where things happen like on text, where like your avatars have a relationship in text world, but like when you like unplug from the textiverse, like that, those things aren't real.
I mean, if and only if there's one way where this counts is if I think your avatar is a whole other persona, like if
Mahogany,
So if my avatar is some guy named Willard, who is like a 45-year-old butcher, and that is not Puya, the 30-year-old podcaster, then it's like, okay, I'm playing a character, you're playing a character, that's fine. But if you're Mahogany, aka Mahogany, and the only difference is you're 2 years younger,
wait,
then I feel like you've advertised
this whole time. Have I been texting with Puya, or have I been texting with Willard?
You have been texting with Puya for about 95% of the time.
What, because when you said that you were going to get me 5 pounds of steak.
That was Willard the Butcher. That's right. Meat cleaver in hand.
Oh, my. So that the whole catering thing that we had going on, that's not real?
That is not real. That was, you know, I had been contracted by Big Steak to lure you in.
The deli, none of that is real?
No, that was all, listen, that was all metaverse stuff. That was all imaginary role play stuff. Now we're here in the real world back talking about these two.
Oh my God. I'm so confused.
What's real? I don't even know anymore, Rob.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go back and review the text like Ben. I like when they go back to review the text. And, you know, I do feel like that history is on Ben's side.
I think so. I do think, you know, for all the jokes we've thrown at Ben, in this instance, yes, it is ridiculous how deep they spoke for how little time they spoke and how serious they got. Mm-hmm. But she spoke back to him. It's right. Not like he said, I love you. And she was like, oh, that's sweet. XX. Like yeah. She said, I love you too. So,
yeah. And I hesitate to use the G word, the gaslight word, because it's such a it's a very loaded word. But
yes.
I wish that there was like a softer version of like a gaslight light. Could I say that?
Gaslight squared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like light.
Like Bud Light.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But gaslight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So an LGL to basically like, I mean, he's reading the text. She's like, no. Like, I didn't mean that when you're interpreting it wrong. Everybody knows, yeah. Like, if you say like, I love you, I want to marry you. That doesn't actually mean that we're like in a relationship.
No, the only time where that doesn't mean we're in a relationship or anything serious is if you are 15 years old and you were doing it on MSN Messenger mm-hmm. back in high school.
Yeah.
The text even diverse. Then, yeah, that was different. That was a different vibe. This, especially with a man the age of Ben, like, of course he's being serious. Like, he is not just saying stuff to be cutesy and sweet, mm-hmm. Mahogany. But I honestly do credit this more to the fact that Mahogany just wants an exit and not because necessarily Mahogany believes that, you know, it wasn't real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You say like that she got the item. It was not the item she ordered on wish.com and said, okay, I'm out.
Yeah. Like most people go Amazon. She went Wish and got the Alibaba Express and was like, no, I don't want this anymore. No, this is not for me.
Okay. So Ben's brain is telling him everything is bad. But his heart is telling him, keep going. I mean, also the producers.
Yeah, he's a glutton for punishment, Rob. What can we say? He mm-hmm. wants things to keep going. He wants to push through. But we can all see, we saw from the minute he walked into that Airbnb that he should have just gotten a flight and went home after. But here we are.
They're going to go road tripping. And we see a lot of awkward silences on the road trip.
Yeah, I felt uncomfortable being in that car with them on the way to their little getaway that they've planned. The one conversation they do have is she asks him, well, do you know any other languages? He brings up that he studied the Bible, and then they kind of talk about Jesus a little bit. And that seemed like it connected them a little bit more than mm-hmm. what happened prior.
Yeah. I mean, Ben is like, oh, I'm back, baby.
You're telling me everything I want to hear. I mm-hmm. like it. I like you. All right, perfect. This is going to be a great trip now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they talk a little bit briefly about Ben's Bible study. They get to a hotel, separate rooms, okay, as God would want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Ben thinks, okay, maybe finally we talked about the Bible. Mahogany will be able to relax. All right. So let's go out for a date to go race dune buggies and have a romantic dinner in the Peruvian desert.
What are your thoughts on a dune buggy ride, Rob? Does that spell romantic for you?
I mean, I don't know if it's romantic, but it looked fun.
It looked fun, and like the destination at the end was romantic, mm-hmm. so that's good. Yeah.
I like a Dune buggy. I didn't watch Dune. That I don't really have any interest in. But I feel like that, you know, you're going on the sand. What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to fall out of the thing. You're not going to crash into anything.
You're not going to crash into anything.
Can you flip a dune buggy?
You definitely can't flip a dune buggy if you go up, you come down like a dune hill a little bit too fast. But ultimately, I think the worst thing would be if like the sand is hot and you step in it barefoot.
Yeah.
That might be the worst part.
Okay, but be careful. Be careful there. All right. So they have a romantic dinner in the desert and they get to talking at dinner. Some awkward conversation comes up. Mahogany wants to know, what were you like when you were my age?
Oh, God. It's like, I really thought, when I was your age, you know, we would throw a Frisbee out back. We had, you know, a rotary phone.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he tells her, when I was your age, I wanted a wife. I wanted children. I wanted to be a pastor at church. And then suddenly it wasn't good. Then he tells us a little bit more about his church and how the church wanted perfectionism, but they were not perfect, him and his wife. So they hid a lot of it. So it got really deep. I feel like genuinely Mahogany was trying to get a little bit more of a, yeah, you know, I was a bachelor. I went to school. Mm-hmm. I did this and that. But it got very serious, very
quick. Serious. And then also Mahogany's asking a lot of questions about his previous romances and talking about how it didn't work out with his ex-wife because of the church, even though he has a good relationship with her, but she hasn't forgiven him. And then he talks about the 27-year-old that he tried to date, but then she didn't want anything to do with his family. And Mahogany is Ben at one time wanted to be a preacher. Mahogany is the one getting a little preachy.
That's right. Mahogany is kind of looking at Ben and being like, well, listen, you said the first wife, like that there was a problem there. That wasn't you. 27-year-old, you dated for 3 years. The kids are the problem. So is everything not your fault? Are you just, you know, Ben is perfect? And at this point, Ben replies with, yeah, I don't think I need to defend my past. Let's focus on the now. That's kind of what he wants to do.
Yep. Mahogany's like, oh, well, you know, it looks like that there's some things about your past that aren't necessarily checking out here. He's like, me? My stuff?
It's a bold move, Mahogany. Do we want to talk about
my stuff's not checking out.
You don't surf. Why was there a surfboard at your fake house? How about that? Let's talk about that, Mahogany. Yeah.
Mahogany's like, I think Ben is a little immature. Like, you're 22.
It's bold, Rob. It's a bold strategy from Mahogany. Yeah. But I think what was it? The LGL is strong with this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, Mahogany just wants out.
Yeah. Mahogany says she thinks things don't add up in confessional. Ben says he doesn't think things add up in the confessional. That's where they leave us. Things don't add up from just either side.
End this for everybody's sake here. I mean, we're not getting really any good drama out of this.
You are wasting our time. This is not fun.
Bring Ben home.
Bring Ben home. I mean,
enough.
Honestly, we might have more fun if Ben is back home and his kids are giving him like crap. I feel like that would be more fun for us.
This Ben and Mahogany story really hasn't been any fun since we found out Mahogany was real. I wish Mahogany, you go back to being fake and Ben, just come home.
I mean, I would love that. I would love for us to go back to a time where Ben was just getting ghosted, which actually looks like what's going to happen in the next episode. We see that Ben has been texting Mahogany after this date and she's not reached back to him. So that's it.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's somebody in the maybe pile that we could put Ben with on. Ben, I think we're sort of like he is being cultivated for the single life.
Oh, please. I can't do it. I mean,
you can.
I see it, but I don't want to see it. You know, I see it, but I want to be blindfolded. I'm not ready. That being said, I could totally see a Ben on single life. Do you think he would have a successful stint on The Single Life?
I don't know. So I have never watched a season of The Single Life, so it's hard for me to tell. But I think that Ben falls hard and fast.
Yes. I think Ben would have a similar vibe to the way Big Ed has been with the dates, where Big Ed will talk to someone for like 2 weeks and be like, I think I'm in love with them. Mm-hmm. I have to tell them and I hope they tell me back. So Ben would have that kind of energy, which means Pencil him in, Rob. Season 3.
Boom.
Ben will be there.
Okay.
Yeah, good pick.
All right. Puya, let's take a break. And when we come back, let's talk about the saga of Usman and Kimberly. Because, again, I have had no feel whatsoever on where this is going, how things are going to play out for them all season long. I was wrong once again. We'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Puya. I thought the Zara thing, nothing burger, okay? Mm-hmm. We saw Kimberly and Usman. He said, you're my girlfriend. He said, time for yummy, 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 yummy. Okay, nothing is going to blow this up.
Too good to be true from your side, Rob. You were way too optimistic. First, you were way too skeptical. You made a wager with me.
Yep.
You lost that wager.
Yep.
I collected this past weekend, had a nice little meal with Liana. So thank you for that. And then now they reeled you back in just to push you down once more. It became a big deal, Rob. The Zara incident was like a deal breaker. It was a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For Kimberly.
Okay. So for me, I'm like, no way Kimberly is going to blow this up over Zara. I mean, who even cares? This all, like, he's with you now, Kimberly. This is what you wanted.
You're not the potential. You're the real deal now. You've sealed it with the yammy. Like, I genuinely did not think this was going to be this big a deal. I did think Kimberly might be a little mad, but this was way more than I would have expected myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we see that Usman is picking up where we left off. And I have to tell you about Zara. Again, I don't know why he needed to pick this exact moment, but okay. That Zara was a real person and that was a girl that I was seeing. And, that's what the song is about. And there's a whole new character now that we have, like, this new version of Kim that's like, what's this all about, yo? I got a bit of a problem. I can't believe you played me, yo.
Yeah. relax, Kim. Okay. I don't know who you think you are.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, it's very uncomfortable. And also, this is, again, she goes off like, how dare you? Why would you ruin my effing day? How dare you keep a secret from me?
Yo.
And listen. Stop the 2008 Jersey Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Stop
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put it aside.
She had the Ron Ron juice.
Yeah.
She's ready to go. Somebody on the 90 Day Fiance subreddit said that when did Kimberly turn into Jesse Pinkman?
Honestly, I was thinking that right as you were about to say that. That is a good comparison. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as many B words, but she's just so mad about this whole thing. And he's trying to tell her, like, I was dating Zara. She broke up with me. And Kimberly is apparently worked to mend his heart. And the whole time he was seeing somebody else. I'm ready to go, yo.
Well, here's the fact, right? They had broken up, according to Usman. Him and Zara broke up 4 months ago. But then him and Kim have been talking for a year. Kim, you came onto this trip knowing you are the potential. You are not dating this man. So first of all, I don't think you have grounds there. Second of all, wasn't it Kim in the first episode of the season who said, yeah, I would be fine if you wanted to have a second, like a second wife. I wouldn't mind that at all.
I don't. According to Kimberly, she said that she's mad because he didn't tell her that he was in a relationship. So I don't know if Kimberly, everything is cool if you just tell her what's going on. But I suspect that's probably not even the case.
No, I feel like I don't think that would have been a big, you know, thing. I genuinely did not expect this to be a problem for the two of them. I think ultimately she does say, you're making me look a fool, yo. I think it's because she flew here to be there for him, to support him while he shoots his music video. And the music video was about another woman. And he also did, to be fair.
The only thing anybody cares about is like, boy, I can't believe Usman is going to get with Kimberly. That's the only thing people are saying. Nobody's like, oh my God, Kimberly, what a fool you are. So what a fool you are. What a fool you are to think that Usman was going to be with you. And now Usman is with you. Ha ha ha. Jokes on stupid idiot Rob. And now you're throwing it all away.
It really has been a up and down, Rob. We're a long ways away from when she was the potential and she's gifting him MacBooks and PS5s and is just doing everything for him. She told us at the beginning of the season, I'm going in, I'm going to get him. He's going to move into my bigger suite. We're going to sleep in the same bed. Ticked all those stuff off. I did not see this coming as a deal breaker whatsoever. Now, to give Kim some credit, I feel like she knows Usman has been on this show before. She knows Usman has been in a position where he could make her look a bit of a fool. She's taking it a little bit too seriously. I feel like no one would have batted an eye at this with Usman specifically. So I do think you're right in that sense where Kim now is throwing this away because of how bad she thinks her image is tarnished. But her image was tarnished when she was communicating with him in the first place. Like, it's not gotten worse from there, you know?
Okay, so Usman is trying to talk to her. He says to her at one point, like, why are you like this? It's a good question. But he goes to her room and she basically is like, that's it. I'm leaving. I'm packing up my stuff and I'll take the laptop back, yo.
In an interesting turn of events, yeah, I did not expect Usman to bring the gifts back, but he's ready to give them back. He wants nothing to do with her. He wants to move away from it all. And she initially says, I don't want them back. And then actually, let me take that laptop. It's a good laptop. Let me take that back.
Where are Bad Moose and Slam T? Because those guys must be like high-fiving. Like, I needed some reaction shots from those guys.
I would have loved if they just showed us a shot of Bad Moose and Slam T sitting oceanside with like two drinks in hand, cheersing.
Night food, yeah.
Yeah, just having a good time. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, was it Slam T who was bringing the stuff into the room? I think we saw like a little sneak snippet of him for like a 2 seconds. If you blinked, you missed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usman is trying to apologize and Kim says that she's mad. He didn't say that he was in a relationship. And then Usman is now saying like, am I making the same mistake I made before in the past where my ex-wife was quick to get angry?
And now here he is, new partner, getting angry at him. I think what's funny to me is that Usman thinks that he, you know, obviously we know he didn't disclose something that he would have assumed she wouldn't like. If he thought she'd be fine with it, he would have said it. But then he's acting very incredulous. Like, how dare you be upset? I've been trying to make you happy. I did all these things for you. So you should be okay with it. That's not how a relationship, it's not like if I do 70 good things for you and then I disclose one bad thing, you are not allowed to be upset about that bad thing. You're allowed to be upset. I just think he didn't expect her to be upset. I think he thought that Kimberly was bulletproof when it came to him messing up. Mm-hmm. She would have been fine and stayed around no matter what.
Yeah, maybe he felt like, okay, I got to tell her this, right? Maybe I'll make her my girlfriend, give her the yammy, 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 yammy. Then I'll tell her. And then at that point, she'll be so appreciative of everything. It'll be fine. Was not fine.
Yeah. I think also the other bit of it is, do you think now Kim is looking at this and thinking, I was his like second choice? Does she feel like there was this other woman and then he only started to like ramp things up with me after this woman went out of the picture, but then he's still recording a song for her? Again, I've told you this, Rob. He has recorded a song for baby girl Lisa, who was the woman he was on with the last season he was on. Now a song for Zara. There's no Kimberly tune. So is she upset that she doesn't have a song?
Maybe he could make it up to her with the song. Maybe that's how he wins her back.
I think that would pay dividends. I really do think that might be a step in the right direction for these two.
Yeah. Okay. So Kim's ready to end it. She says she's not coming back. She feels like everything was a lie. I can't believe the rise and fall of Kimberly and Usman.
They really came back long enough for me to get a free meal out of the deal, Rob, and then Dipset. So it's been interesting. I don't want to speak too much about our power rankings at the end of this. I have a feeling Kim and Usman are not going to stay where they are right now.
Can't believe it. I can't believe it. Just what the hell happened here?
It is weird when you think about it, because I feel like Kim and Usman were giving us some juicy bits early, some fun content. And then these last like three episodes feels like they were like separated by months because of how quickly things went up and then down and then up again and then down again. So at this point, when it comes to the next time on with them, we do see a scene we saw in the previews early, like before the season started, where Kim throws a drink in Usman's face. And that's going to be, again, more of a heated fight. There doesn't seem to be any makeup in sight, Rob. But again, this is Kim and Usman. We cannot bet on that. We cannot. If anything,
too
bet on the opposite.
Too unpredictable. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to Memphis and Hamza. Because
you know, unpredictable.
Yeah, this is unpredictable as well. But this is a happy story, at least, for Memphis and Hamza.
We need a good story.
This is a happy story. And we are going to get some help by way of a translator in this episode, because really the biggest problem here with Memphis and Hamza comes down to communication.
And we love a good translator person that pops into a 90 Day Franchise. The last one that popped in was during Brittany and Yazan's season. I believe his name was Adam, the translator. Adam, the translator, became like a bit of a cult hero, Rob, became the darling of the 90 Day subreddit, would comment on the subreddit, then got a lot of features elsewhere on the show. And now we have a new translator in town, and I liked him a lot. I actually think he was my MVP of the episode. I liked the translator quite a bit.
Yeah, his name is Hamadi.
Yes.
Okay, so they're going to go see the translator. They sit down with Hamadi, and, you know, tough spot for Hamadi.
Hamadi looks like I don't know how to describe him. He looked like he was profusely sweating and like it was a very uncomfortable spot for him to be in. But then I didn't think that the situation was making him feel that way. I feel like that was just his default mode
His vibe. Yeah.
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 I mean, he's a good third wheel to have, Hamadi. Okay. So Hamadi says that Hamza is upset. You keep going to see your ex. Maybe you'll fight with him. And then you go to your ex's house for 4 days.
And Memphis says, no, I won't. But then when things get brought up more, Memphis starts talking like this, very angrily, very charged, very one-word
gaps. I will not go to my ex-husband's house anymore. That is not something that I will plan to do.
Memphis, stop it. You don't need this. It's not that deep. And then Hamza tells the translator, I don't like when she gets angry very easily and she yells at me like right now. I don't like this.
I mean, I speak the same language as my partner, but I feel like that just having Hamadi around, I feel like that the buffer is huge. The buffer is in an argument.
Big time. You need
facilitator.
It slows stuff down. It causes it not to like escalate too much. But I will say, like, in any argument, if someone starts talking to you where they've got like a 1 second gap between each word, it does feel like you're being talked down to and they're being loud. It's very hard to then, you know, stay par for the course. But thankfully, Hamadi was there to make sure we keep things going.
Mm-hmm. So Memphis ends up saying that she's marrying him against the recommendations of her friends and family. And then he just comes around the table and he loves that. He kisses her. And then that's like they're totally back.
That Hamadi brought him back, Rob, brought him back together. They're good now. Everything looks happy. But then we get one more scene from them, Rob.
Yeah.
We go a little bit of ways and then we get to the new date here. And now this time Hamza's taking Memphis to a romantic spot.
Yeah. So it's a little weird that he brings her to some historical place. He tells her.
Yes.
And he has like a trash bag with him.
Yeah, it's like equal parts. He's trying to be romantic, but then also I saw like a plastic bag on the floor and like there's like wild stock around. Yeah,
why do you have a plastic bag? Why do you have a plastic bag? Yeah. And he's a surprise. He's like, okay, what are you doing? He's going to sneak off and just leaves Memphis like in the middle of nowhere.
She has no idea what's going on. You can see she's getting a little bit nervous, but we find out that Hamza went like back there somewhere and like did a wardrobe change in the middle of this historical place.
Yeah. Looks like that he changed into his, I guess he got a punishment. He got the Wax Street punishment and had to go into the all white shirt and pants.
He was just missing the cap, Rob. That was the last piece of the Wax Street Boys punishment from BB17 for our boy Hamza. Yeah, he comes out all white. Memphis looks at him, says, wow, okay. All right. What's going on? He's like, surprise. And then
hold on. And Memphis had an observation of Hamza.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Says, Hamza.
Yeah.
Has junk in the trunk, Rob.
Junk in the trunk. Big booty.
Big booty Hamza.
Big booty Hamza. I say, no, you have a big booty.
Yeah, I love that. You know, the compliment off of, no, you have a big booty. No, you have a big booty. Mm-hmm. Back and forth.
Yeah.
Good times.
Okay. He's so sorry about for the fight, but he's happy now. And he says, you are my happiness. Do you want to marry me?
Very sweet. Very sweet. He got on one knee, and I loved how he went about it. He proposes. She says yes, and he feels like, you know, he wants to prove how serious he is about the relationship. Happy ending, question mark? So far, this looks good, right?
Yeah. Were they in the next time on?
Rob, it doesn't. No, they are on the next time on. Okay.
Yeah, because the translator is back.
The translator's back.
Because the translator is going to talk to Hamza's mom.
And this looks to get heated, Rob. So moment in paradise, we're going to be back in the thick of it. Memphis is going to get mad at Hamza's mom. With the translator right there. So we'll see how that goes. That might be one of the good bits of the next episode I foresee. I think that's going to be interesting to see play out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Should we talk about Mike and Jimena? Speaking of, let's get to our translator stories all in a row.
Yeah, let's get them going. Another translator app mishap person, Mike and Jimena, back on the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. They're still in the bedroom from last time. Jimena will say only about 73 times in the episode, yes, I love you, but I am not in love with you.
And it hurts more and more with each saying it. We picked up exactly where we left off last time. More of this love stuff going on and the lack thereof. And, you know, Jimena's argument for this, Rob, is, being in love with someone takes a long time and they need to be living together. Mm-hmm. We don't live together. So I'm not falling in love with you.
So I feel like that the translator app here was struggling with the phrase, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I feel like that was very clear. I feel like that the translator app never quite got it right until Nelsie herself has to step in.
Yes, and this was, you know, we complimented the other translations earlier with the app, but in this one, it seems like the translator app just translated love and in love to just love. So it was like, I love you, but I'm not, I don't love you. It's like, well, that you know, that crosses that out, bounce each other out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Nelsie was needed.
Okay. All right. So they, you know, he wants to talk about these issues, and she says, you know, I'm sleepy and I don't want to talk about these issues right now, and says, you have to leave the room. We're not going to be intimate on this trip. Okay.
That's it. No intimacy for you.
But then I thought that this was, you know, really not great for Mike, where, you know, Jimena says, I'm tired, get out of here. And then is like, you know, calls the kids like, hey, kids, get in here. Let's take selfies. Like, I mean, I think you're tired.
That's how you successfully push him out of the room. Because, again, we've learned that Jimena feels like Mike is very clingy. But then this is where we see a new side of Mike start to form. Mike talks about how he feels like he's trying to work on things constantly, and she's not perfect either, but she's not working on stuff.
Puya, it's so sad. And not like sad, like sad, like pathetic, where Mike is like reduced to having to go to like sleep in the kid's bed.
I mean, it is kind of sad, like pathetic, Rob. Let's be honest. It's a little pathetic from.
Oh, it's a lot. It's super pathetic.
Yeah.
It's a lot sad, pathetic.
I mean, I can't imagine, you know, taking a trip, coming home, and then being demoted to the kid's bed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's sad all around. But, hey, that's the reality Mike has to live in right now.
Not even, like, a guest room. Like, he's, like, sleeping, like, on a car bed that he probably paid for.
Right. And, I mean, big question here is, obviously, would you rather sleep in a car bed or sleep on a couch? Like car bed. I'll take the car bed, right?
Car bed?
It's still a mattress, right? I feel like a mattress will be more comfortable.
It's so humiliating that you are in a child's bed. Well, like, at least adults sleep on a couch. You are basically in a crib.
Oh, if it's a car bed, you're basically, okay.
Right, right. You are a child. That she does not see Mike as a man once he sleeps in the car bed.
I mean, she didn't see Mike as a man. I know.
It's bad. It's bad. But at least adults sleep on a couch sometimes.
I mean, sometimes you can couch surf. If you have an Airbnb, you can sleep on the couch if there's too many of you. So definitely.
Sleeping on a couch is not as humiliating as sleeping in the car bed. And the car bed, I want to bring up, like, what character is on the sheets of the car bed also?
Oh, here, do you think that'll...
That also adds to the humiliation here.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess that could be the question we put out for the audience. What is more humiliating, sleeping on a couch or sleeping on a car bed? Let us know on Twitter, at Rob Cesarino, at Puyaism. Would be appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
What if the
Train, okay?
Oof, okay, that's bad. That's a little tragic right there. All right. It was that, Cars, and Frozen. Any of those three pop up, I would have been like, okay, you lost. What if it was like sophisticated bedding? Like, you know, like a stand, like a black and red, or just a, you know, like a floral pattern. Would that have been less humiliating?
Is it still a bed that has Lightning McQueen as the headboard?
Yes, but what if the sheets, or not sheets, the comforter covered it? Would that be less humiliating? If you can't tell it's a car bed because of the big comforter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's be very specific. I don't know if this is a car bed. This is a car's bed.
Damn, that might cost a little bit more. A Disney property themed bed might cost a little bit more than just a standard car bed then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either way, this is a, you know, tough look for Mike. He's going to call up his friend, John.
Yes. And when you say tough love, you think of John, because John really was not playing around with Mike here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we saw John back in, was it the first or second episode of the season, where he warned Mike.
Mm-hmm. He said there could be other Mikes around the world that you don't know about. Because, John and Nelsie.
What a nightmare for Jimena if there's multiple Mikes.
I mean, depending on what Jimena is looking for, maybe not. This mic in particular hasn't worked out. Maybe another mic would be better suited.
I think she's done with mics. I think she's ready to try anything else than another Mike.
Yeah, from Mike's to John's. Yeah. The Jimena story.
Okay. So Mike is like, yeah, I don't understand what's going on here because she says she needs space and now I'm sleeping in the kid's bed. And they're like, space! Space! You're a long-distance relationship! You idiot!
Yeah, John said, my man, I'd be out of there.
Yeah.
He did not hold back.
Yeah. And so, yeah, she said she doesn't love me anymore, so I'm wondering if that's a bad sign. It's like, yeah, get out of there!
What are you doing? You don't need to be there anymore. Just leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, yeah, John's like, yeah, the relationship seems a little one-sided.
And, like, you know, John is speaking facts only, mm-hmm. and Mike replies, you know, I'm seeing your point.
Yeah, I'm seeing a little bit of what you're saying now.
I'm getting it, but I don't know. I feel like it's not out. It's not done yet. Mm-hmm. He tells John that he's asked John, would your fiance, would Nelsie be down to translate for us? I feel like there's some things that I need to tell her and I need to hear from her that are not being clear with our communication.
Yeah.
Can she help?
Okay.
John says, I think she would help, but I think maybe you're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. And that light is on the plane back to New York.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get out of there. Okay. So let's go to the coffee shop. I don't know why they couldn't talk to Nelsie at the house, but we're going to go to a crowded coffee shop. Ideally, the number one place where you want to have a Zoom call. And where we're going to talk to Nelsie. Jimena doesn't want to look at Nelsie.
Yeah, Jimena says, you know, a relationship's between two people, so I don't know why he's trying to get involved with a third person, but let's just do it. But then also, yeah, she didn't want to look at Nelsie, so Mike gets on the call awkwardly just with the camera facing him, and then they talk about one thing, and immediately Jimena's involved, and then the camera gets, the laptop gets turned over to Jimena. Mm-hmm. It's a very weird conversation, Rob.
Okay, so she's very quick to throw out there, yeah, I love him, but I'm not in love with him. And goes on to say that one of the big problems is that he stares at her while she's sleeping like she's a bug.
No, like he's a creepy bug.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, that was, I need Nelsie.
Yeah, you needed Nelsie there.
Yeah, like he's a creepy bug. Okay. Mike tries to correct the record, Puya. He says, no. I'm just admiring you. I'm not staring at you like in a creepy way.
Yeah, this is the most Fedora thing I've heard so far on the mm-hmm. season where it's like, no, I'm not creepy. You're so beautiful. You're so breathtaking that I just can't take my eyes off you. But I think we can all agree, if I wake up and like Liana is sitting on a chair on the other side of the room, just staring at me, and I'm at a vulnerable state where I'm asleep and mm-hmm. like I feel gross. Yeah, I'd hate that too. I'd be like, Liana, stop it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we're in bed and I turn over and Liana's awake and looking at me, that's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he has moved to a chair to admire her?
He seems like the chair type of guy.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Is he recording also while she's sleeping, or that's that would be then that would go to another level?
I feel like that would definitely be a situation where mm-hmm. if he was recording, he would know he's being creepy.
Yeah, okay.
So I think that would have confirmed.
That's not admiring at that point. Okay.
No.
All right. So Nelsie asks Jimena, so what do you like about Mike?
Well, what do I like about Mike? What I like about Mike is that here are the things I don't like about Mike. She just flips it. She talks about how brilliant. He likes to burp. He's slobbish. He's piggish. Mm-hmm. This is a roast at this point.
Yeah. Nelsie is like, Mike, look at her. Does she look happy to be near you? You idiot.
You dummy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Honestly, Nelsie doesn't hold back. Even what's interesting to me is like, unlike other translators and other translations, Nelsie, from the first question she asks Jimena, inserts her own opinion and says, you know, the thing that bothers me is that when you were fine, but then once you met him, things kind of changed. So it makes me feel like once you met him, you weren't really into him. Mm-hmm. And then all the creeping stuff came up. And then she also asks another question to Ximena and says, so tell me, if you might not want to be with him, how do you feel, like, you know, what's up with this whole money thing? How do you feel about that? And this is where Nelsie gets a big bombshell thrown on her.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you stopped working and Mike pays for everything?
Yeah, we met. I stopped working. And now.
So what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about it?
Yeah.
Okay. Mike finances us.
Yeah. So what? Big deal. Okay. And yeah, she's like, well, like, thank you for the stuff, but I still don't, not in love with you.
It's good stuff, though. Thank you for the car. Thank you for the car bed.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, thank you for the stuff, but this isn't working.
And then once the roasting happened, Nelsie looks over to Mike on camera and says, listen, she's literally disgusted by you, doesn't love you. She's not here for the right reasons. And Mike, maybe for the first time in the history of his experience on 90 Day, hits us with some hard facts and says, oh, well, I'll see you on the next flight out. Has Mike changed, Rob? Is Mike ready to give up on this relationship?
Now, he did say, I still want to be friends with you. Like, which, you know, if somebody tells me, I detest you, you're a slob, you're a pig, like, I'll probably be like, you know, I'm good.
Unless that's your kink, I don't see how you don't just
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not about that either. I don't enjoy, I don't get jolly for that. That's weird.
Yeah. So, but it looks like going into next week, boy, I think Ximena imagined this ending with her dumping Mike.
I don't think she likes the idea of being the one to get rejected by old Mikey boy here.
Yeah. She seems like that. It's like, wait, you are breaking up with me?
It's like, no. She says in the next time on, can we stay? Can we figure out a solution? Can you stay? I think she wants him to stay, patch things up, and then do the dumping. I don't think she can handle a world where she's the one getting rejected.
Yeah. So an interesting turn.
It is interesting. It is very interesting. And now we'll see where they're at next week. Again, they went from really good to bad to worse. It's just getting worse with every episode for those two.
All right. Let's stop down one more time. Take a quick break. Come back. Let's talk about Gino and Jasmine and Jasmine's mom. And then we'll update our power rankings for the week in 90 Day Fiancé right after this.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Gino is going to go visit Jasmine's mom. Big me, 2 weeks in the making to get ready for Jasmine's mom.
Yeah, they've really prepped us for this, Rob. It's, anticipation is key, and we are feeling a lot of anticipation going into this meeting.
And there's a lot of hubbub around Gino's hat and what will happen because of the prayer.
Right. So that was the big thing they left us with last time, which was, hey, my mom is going to want to say a prayer at the dinner table, and she will probably require you to take off your hat. And Gino said, you know, I'm not going to be comfortable doing that. This gets brought up again at the start of their episode where Gino says he's feeling nervous and that his hat is like his surrogate hair, Rob.
Right. Puya, I never even thought about that. But yeah, is a hat like surrogate hair?
Depends on the person, I guess. You know, some people wear toupees. Some people might get a hair transplant. Some people might just wear a hat, and they all do equally the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My hat is like a surrogate hair for me.
I mean, the problem here, Gino, is that we've already seen your head. So, like, it's done. Like, you can let your hat down, let your guard down. But I think what this tells me, Rob, is that Jasmine has not seen Gino without this hat, except for that one time where she snatched it off his head.
Yes.
Still.
Well, she did when they had gone to the bedroom when he first arrived. I think that she mentioned about what he looked like without a hat, although I think it was pretty dark.
I think the lights were off when the hat came off for that. Yes. Yeah, I think so.
All right. So mom meets Gino.
I have never seen a mother look so displeased with just her eyes upon meeting her daughter's partner. But here we are.
You know, we had so much hype about the mom. I feel like that the mom really under-delivered in terms of any sort of drama. Like, she obviously is like, boy, I wish my daughter wasn't dating Gino. But overall, she was sort of like, look, if this is what Jasmine wants, then she didn't give an ultimatum. She didn't say, get out of my house. Take that hat off.
No. Age difference came up, which anyone would have brought that up first. But then, you know, she asked a couple of questions to Jasmine about, is this really the life you want? Jasmine says yes. And the mom kind of said, it's your choice. I'm good with it. Even when it came down to the blessing, she didn't fight back on the blessing, just said, make my daughter happy. And Gino said, I intend to. Yeah. And that was it. The one question I did like that got brought up was, so Gino, why don't you have kids of your own?
Mm-hmm. And I just never came up.
It never happened.
It just never happened for me.
It is wild when Gino talks about
the only babies I have are SBs.
Sugar. Yeah.
That's the kind of daddy that I am.
Oh God. Again, bedroom talk with Gino, top five worst places to end up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't love that.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about the sister? The sister seemed like she had a good hate into Gino.
She had a decent dislike to Gino, but also I think this whole meeting was under-delivered because, you know, you mentioned it at the top of this. We had 2 weeks of prep for this. It was supposed to be a big, big deal. And then it was kind of a nothing. And it really, you know, fell flat for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not too much going on. Maybe next week we'll see some more. I mean, mom brought out the photos. We see some pictures of young Jasmine, and you know, we see that you know, why didn't Jasmine have more boyfriends?
Mom's strict, and then honestly, promptly, mom changed the subject anyway. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
we didn't get deep there. And then we had like the goofiest segment of the
Gino dancing.
Gino dancing with two left feet.
Merengue, yeah. He has like dances like he has a stick in his ass.
Mm-hmm. Jasmine's words, not ours, but we probably would have used the same words.
Yeah. And so Gino calls up his brother, Tony.
Was this the first time we met Tony?
I don't know. Maybe in the first episode.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. And he talks to Tony about they've had some problems. He texted a picture that he shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Tony has some concerns, but that's it.
That's it. That's your episode for Gino and Jasmine. Now, we must bring your attention over to the next time
next
on,
time. Yeah, yeah, next time. Looks like that Gino's ex is going to take some steps here that I guess she's threatening to now post Jasmine's photos. And this is in a way, I feel like that it's almost like that Gino and Jasmine are potentially on the same side against Gino's ex, which if he handled this the right way, could potentially stop this. But I think that he seems to be downplaying the situation.
Yes. I believe Gino's energy is, I don't think you need to worry about that.
Like,
it's not a problem.
Right. Which is almost like that he is like not making Jasmine feel like he is on her side.
It's, again, Rob, we talked about ups and downs. This relationship looked like they were behind the worst of it. Now the ex-wife has decided to escalate it. Let's do a prediction right here, right now. Will they overcome this threat?
I think they will, because they overcame the initial part of it. This seems like more of an aftershock. I don't imagine that Gino's ex is going to go through with this.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like she's looking for more attention.
I think so too. I think she's trying to rile him up. And I think she, Gino's ex, thought that by sharing this with Jasmine, they would be done, and probably now knows that they're still together and not done.
And also, what a loser she sounds like. Is she fighting with Jasmine over Gino?
Why is there even one person looking for Gino? Now there's two?
Right. Like, it was one thing when she was like, hey, I just want you to know, Gino's an idiot and he's sending me your pictures. Okay. That was like, okay, that sounds like, okay, maybe that this person is actually like looking out for Jasmine. But when she's now threatening Jasmine, that's it.
That's the line. I mean,
you should have Gino.
Just take him.
Just why take Gino.
Yeah. Why is this a thing we're doing?
Mm-hmm. All right. Puya, should we update our 90 Day Fiancé power rankings for this week?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. I need Sam to bump up the link once again for our 90 Day Fiancé power rankings in the chat. And let's take a look back. I don't think we're going to have too much movement this week going back from last week. The power rankings from 6 to 1 were Mike and Jimena 6, Ben and Mahogany 5, Johnny and Ella 4, Memphis and Hamza 3, Kim and Usman. I think that's going to be the big mover on the countdown. And then Gino and Jasmine are 1. Now, we do have to say, are we factoring in upcoming next time on 90 Day Fiancé into our equation?
Yes, it was on this episode, even as a snippet. We have to consider it. And what Rob is alluding to is finally, after what, 2 weeks of a hiatus, Johnny and Ella are going to come back. And probably the biggest bombshell of the night.
Yeah.
Ella.
Yeah.
Said that, listen, I've met up with one of my friends. We were cuddling and then we had sex.
All right.
So.
Yeah. Johnny's like, what? What? So. Broken. All right. Puya. First off, the question number one is, do we believe this story? Is this Ella with a dirty trick of, hey, I got like Johnny, hey, you got to move.
Yeah, this could be a ploy to try and get him to escalate the trip to Dubai. That definitely possible. Or Ella self-destructed the relationship because she wasn't getting an answer. It could be either or, but both are not good for the longevity of this relationship.
Based on Ella's track record of like when she talks about her dating history, I mean, do we just think that like Ella has like guys on standby that are going to like come on over?
I mean, she's not really mentioned anything like that before for us to believe it. But then my question to you is, how does she think this will work in her favor if she is lying to manipulate Johnny? If I am being heartbroken by someone I'm, you know, in a relationship with or that I'm feeling or whatever with this, is my immediate reaction going to be, no, I must go see her and save the relationship? Or
maybe, I mean, look, we know that Ella is not necessarily always making logical decisions. Okay. Mm-hmm. She punched in her credit card information last week. She paid what? Like
$1,500
for a plane ticket. And then immediately after does a booty call with somebody.
Listen, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it sounds like if we're believing, if everything Ella is saying is factual, sounds like she went to someone for comfort. They were just hanging out and then things got steamy from there. Wasn't necessarily like we're meeting up with the booty call top of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe just got there. We don't have much to go off of.
I think we would have been introduced to this character. If this were, so I think that if like 90 Day Fiance, they love the bait and switch. Okay,
they do.
If this really was a true story, would they give us it this morsel, which is more like a meaty dinner here in terms of a bombshell? Would they give that to us in the previously on, or would they tease it if it was real? I have something to tell you about a guy that I met. Or if this was like a psych, just kidding, would they give us that in the, hey, I slept with a guy?
I feel like it could go either way, to be honest. I do feel like it could go either way, because what's interesting to me is that I feel like a lot of the Next Time Ons this week really are like the flashy headline, bigger moments that they want us to focus on. So, and like, we haven't seen Johnny and Ellen in 2 weeks, so maybe this is their way of reigniting our interest. But the accuracy, I can't speak on. What I do think, though, is no matter how we look at it, it will impact Johnny and Ella's ratings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we'll see. I don't know how much you want. Like, I'm sort of like feeling like maybe this is fake news.
Okay.
Let's factor that into our equation. All right. So Mike and Jimena, could anybody be worse than Mike and Jimena right now?
Mike and Jimena, he's literally sleeping in a kiddie bed. He is the one that's trying to push for the breakup now, which we don't think we expected. I think they stay lowest of the low. Mm-hmm. I think they 100% stay, because Mike would have been the driving force to keep that afloat and keep that going up. If he's out, it's out. It's over.
Okay. All right. Then who's five?
That's the difficult question. Who is five indeed? Because I think, should we? Okay. How about this? I feel stronger about who the top two should be. Should we fill out those spots?
Okay, go and for then, it. All right. If we could logic this out. Okay. So who's number one?
Gino and Jasmine just got the mom's blessing.
Mm-hmm. Even though Memphis and Hamza had a full engagement.
Yes, because if we're looking at the Next Time On for Gino and Jasmine, we have to look at the Next Time On for Memphis and Hamza, which involves Hamza's
all right,
mom.
Fine, I'll allow. Even though Next Time for it looks bad for Gino and Jasmine, though.
It doesn't look as fiery or as bad as it's been before, which is why I think that could be our bait and switch.
I didn't hear Jasmine call Gino a depressing man again.
This is true. Mm-hmm. This is true.
We'll just go off of we should be leaning more on the events of this week. One, Gino and Jasmine. Two, Memphis and Hamza. Okay, so we still have Johnny and Ella, Ben and Mahogany, and then Kim and Usman. I think that Ben and Mahogany should be five.
Stay five, Mahogany and Ben. The needle didn't really move all that much. They both doubt each other. Sure, let's go with that.
And then for Kim and Usman or Johnny and Ella, how do you see it between three and four spots?
It's interesting because before we started looking at the spreadsheet, I really wanted to be like Johnny and Ella fall way below. But also we got one scene, so that doesn't give me a lot. We don't know the full truth of that scene with Kim and Usman. We saw them pretty much call it quits. Kim, again, this goes the same thing with Mike and Jimena. Kim would have been the reason the relationship stays afloat. And if she wants out, then that makes me believe that that's probably not going to last. So I think they had the bigger downfall. So let's give them fourth. Let's give Johnny and Ella third, which is ridiculous because they've gone up a spot.
They moved up a spot. there's a chance that she could be kidding.
Yeah, April Fools. Just kidding.
Psych, just kidding.
You got pranked. Yeah.
Okay. Because she was threatening him, like, oh, maybe I might meet somebody. Maybe I might. You never know.
I mean, she did cry afterwards that Johnny seemed very sad. So I think she's going to fight for him still. I think Johnny's still, like, even if he's heartbroken, still, like, loves her. So it makes sense that they can stay in third. Let's watch the full impact of next week and see if they move down after that.
Okay. All right. That's going to be next time on a 90 Day Fiance before the 90 days. But yeah, anything else?
About 90, I think we covered everything. I'm excited to see next episode. I think we've had a couple, again, middle episodes. Man. I feel optimistic about this next one, Rob.
I do too. All right, what's coming up for you, Puya?
Let's see. So recently, you know, we did the Survivor 42 draft, and that was a lot of fun. I'm, you know, fingers crossed, that goes well for me. We'll see. So that's available over on the Survivor feed. Big Brother Canada has now started, is in full swing. I'm doing the live feed updates on Fridays with Taryn. And then Masked Singer is coming back this week. Liana and I will be recording a podcast for the premiere episode, and we're going to do our draft there. So that'll be a lot of fun as well. And the Bel Air podcast over on Post Show Recaps with Chappelle will be going strong. We're recording two podcasts this week, hopefully. We'll be fully caught up. It'll be a smooth ride. It's been a great show, so that's been fun as well. You can find me on Twitter at Puyaism, and I still stream 3-4 times a week over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya.
Okay. All right. And of course, we're getting ready to start to kick off another season of Survivor. Be sure to check out all of the coverage there over on Robin Akivany, the podcast. We talked about all of the best jingles of all time. Jingle
all the way.
Yeah. And also on the Nothing But Netflix podcast, we checked out a Madea Homecoming. Puya, have you watched it yet?
I have not, but based on the rave reviews I've heard for this podcast, I will be checking it
yes,
out.
Yes, okay. I think you could just listen to the podcast.
I mean, that I was going to do no matter what. So, okay.
All right, check that out. Of course, we'll be back next time to talk about everything that's going on in the world of 90 Day Fiancé with you on next week's episode. Until then, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.